And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live today right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to thank you for joining us on this Friday. And of course, this Friday, friends, is Friday, September 11th, 2026, exactly 25 years ago. Of course, we all were shocked, or those of us that were old enough to be alive and to remember that day, at the news of terrorists attacking the Twin Towers in New York City, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and then, of course, the downed plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And our hearts are, we're thinking about all those who lost loved ones on that day, praying for those families, praying for the memories that their hearts and minds will be flooded with today, and praying, of course, for our nation and its leaders as well, that something like that will never be repeated again. Well, we're glad that you're with us on this September 11th morning. And today, throughout this week, of course, we've been talking about or asking ourselves this question as believers: is God enough for me? And today's theme is focused on the unconditional love of God, which is to say that God places or loves without placing any condition on the loved ones. He loves us because it's his nature to love. And the love moves him to action. And we read in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 5 that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. But if you're looking for the best possible understanding, the clearest possible picture of God's unconditional love, you find that in the gospel. You find that in the fact that Christ came into our world to die in our place so that our sins could be removed forever. That's going to be our theme on this Friday edition of the Grace Hour. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today is Pastor Bob Colban, and we will be your hosts for this broadcast today. And Pastor Bob, this is, well, it's a theme that causes us to marvel every time we think about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, I did a little, I think we all know the definition of unconditional love, and you expressed it in your introduction. And we have this, many years ago, there was a Greater Grace glossary that was put out that I'm thankful I still have a copy of, because, you know, you can go back to these definitions, you know. And I just want to read, because we're talking about the agape love of God. And also the word is agapeo or agape. One is a verb, one is a noun. But I like this definition. It's very similar to what you just read, Pastor Love. And it says, agapeo or agape speaks of God's love and care for the people of the world. And it is a love that does not need nor require an emotional, verbal, or physical response in return. I want to read that part. It's a love that does not need or require an emotional, verbal, or physical response in return. The object is loved unconditionally, disregarding response or rejection. This love will initiate a relationship to show kindness and self-sacrifice, regardless of whether the object of the love is worthy or even likable. Agape is freely given eternal love. And I like that definition. You know, sometimes you just like to kind of get a little more clarity, a little more, you know, because we can say, oh, unconditional love means God loves without condition. But I like to get into definitions where it kind of gives, to the meaning, it kind of gives a little more depth to it, maybe, you know. And you know, we are human beings. We understand conditional love very well, you know. And, you know, love that requires a response from the person, or some kind of emotional response or physical, or, you know, or we have it, that person is in debt to us because we have loved them, you know. But really, this whole idea of unconditional love is really, for human beings, I'm going to say it this way, it's impossible. You know, we're always looking for something in return from somebody, you know, and, you know, I remember one time, my wife and I were visiting, our church in Geneva, and we were having like a potluck dinner, and there was maybe 25 people in the room. And I was looking around, and there was maybe people from 10 or 12 different nationalities there in a room of 25 people. And there was somebody from South America, and I'm kind of going around the room and I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking, that this is amazing. Number one. Number two, the UN has nothing on us, meaning, you know, you look at the UN and you see 200 and something countries that come together and, you know, they may be walking around with their arms around each other or talking up somebody. Oh, I just, you know, the ambassador and this. But the reality is there's always an agenda. They always want something in return, and they can walk arm in arm and say, oh, I love them, or we are together with you till death do, you know, whatever it is, you know, these countries and these, but everybody is doing something for some reason in return. You know, I'll support you if you sell us oil. I'll support you if you, you know, come under our, you know, you defend, you know, it's always an agenda. And the beauty of, and I guess maybe I'd say this, but this is the best that man can do, you know, is love with some sort of love or concern or care or unity with some sort of agenda and making sure. And if the payback doesn't come, there goes the unity, there goes the love, there goes the friendship. It just goes out the window. Yeah. But we're talking about something so different that is supernatural, that originates with God. And really, to the human brain, to my brain, I'll say it this way, to me, it's so unnatural. I don't know. I can't think of any other word to describe it. It's supernatural. Just like having 12 people in a room from different countries, and all I want to know with the guy sitting next to, I just want to know him in Christ, you know? No agenda. I don't want anything else from you but Christ, you know? So here we have this love that really defines. I heard somebody say it earlier in the week on the show that God, everything that God does is because of his unconditional love. You know, and I have my Bible here open to, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved. What is that word? It's agape.
Of course.
God so loved. You could say it like God so loved the world unconditionally, or God, you know, cared about the world unconditionally. And he needed not to have any sort of response from man in order to do what he did for us, yeah. You know. And this is really the story of the scriptures, you know. You know, man's unworthiness and God's just this incredible love that, you know, when you go through the Bible, and I know, Pastor Love, you read the Bible many times, you've taught it many times. You know, man is, there's very few chapters where man is, comes out glowing, you know. There's sometimes with King David and some of these, you know, Samuel and Moses at times, you know, but really the story of the Bible is man's, failures. And yet God, this unconditional love that never gives up on us, never gives up on us, yeah. You know. And I think that's the, That's the contrast right there. As we read, you can read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. It's the same story, different people, but the same God, different responses, but the same love all the time.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I love the way you described it. It's a love that never gives up.
Yeah.
That's not a human love.
Yeah.
It's not anything that we're used to.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated when I think that Jesus, he quoted from the Old Testament once in John chapter 15, I believe it's verse 25, and he said about his own people, the nation of Israel, he said, they hated me without a cause. Mm. They hated me without a reason. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, we read these words, that you and I and everyone that's put their faith in Christ has been justified freely.
Freely, yeah.
Which, this, it's the same word. It means without a cause. Mm. So humanity, wow. From our perspective, we hated him without a reason. He turned around and died for us and justified us without a reason.
Wow.
He doesn't need a reason to love us, mm-hmm. does he? Mm-hmm. That's the nature of God's love. Mm-hmm. 1 John 4:16 starts out by saying, God is love. And the first word in that verse tells us something absolutely wonderful about God's love. And it's this. It has nothing to do with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with us. Right there, the first word, God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just tells us who he is, what his character is. It's one of love. You yeah. think of God's choice of Israel. We remember in, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 7, God said, I did not choose you because you were great in number. I did not choose you because you were the biggest and best nation on the planet. I chose you because I loved you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
There's no other reason.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to just think about that and to reflect upon that, it's no wonder that of all of the booklets and books that our ministry has produced over the decades, the one that has been more frequently produced than any other one was the booklet that Pastor Stevens wrote entitled, Just Let God Love You. Because
mm-hmm.
if we can learn how to do that, we'll not just make it, but we'll get through with flying colors.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because we have a tendency to look at God and his relationship to us and put it almost in a natural perspective and say, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, the daisy, you know, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. And I think it's because we look at God and then we equate like human love to him. And so at any particular time of the day or any particular day or whatever, we can feel like he loves me not, you know, because I, you know, what I did today or what I thought today or how I acted today or what I, you know, or, and it can be so, you know, like, oh, I didn't read the Bible today. So God's not happy with me or God is, doesn't love, you know, this is how we can, like what you just said, how God is love.
Yeah.
And that's how it starts with God and it ends with God,
mm.
you know, like this is the love of God. And it, you know, this whole idea of when I'm good, God loves me. Because this is the way we relate to people.
Of course.
You know,
yeah.
he's my buddy, but you know what? What he did to me yesterday, I don't really care, if, you know, what, you know. We can be that callous, and even in our marriages and so on and so forth, you know, because we're depraved. We have that depraved nature that wants to exalt itself in moments of, really in moments of weakness or where we take our eyes off of God. And I think this theme of the unconditional, we cannot hear it enough.
We can't.
You know, this whole, you know, it's not based upon my response, my, what I say out of my mouth, what I'm thinking in my mind, how I even feel in my heart. You know, it doesn't, it has nothing to do with that. It's unchangeable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, his love, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amazing.
And that's, you know, we need that because what are we surrounded by? Conditional love.
Absolutely.
What are we surrounded by? A world that hates God without a cause. This is what we're surrounded by. What are we bombarded with constantly? You know, it kind of grieves me. You know, here it is 2026 and we have so much information available to us and you can go on YouTube or any of these media things and people questioning God's love, people questioning God's character, people questioning, is there even a God? And just everybody is all of a sudden an expert on God, you know? And, you know, you hear very little about the real character of God, which is his unconditional love based upon him. You know, God so loved the world. That's his love towards us. What does it say? And I just look, in Romans 5:8, God commended, I wrote down, what does that mean? God proved, exhibited, or established his love towards us in that while we were sinners, so while we're just running away from him, Pastor Love, I know it's part of your testimony, running away from God. We were all running away from God. Mm. We weren't running towards him.
No.
You know, but God distributed, demonstrated, proved, established his love towards us, and that while we were running away from him, had no interest in God at all, he just ran after us. I know what I love the way you always, and when you preach on Psalm 23, you talk about goodness and mercy being his sheepdogs
yeah.
always coming after us.
That's
you know,
right.
And this is the nature of God. Well, you know, we're unlovely. you know, we're rejecting him. We're living our own life. We're not interested. God initiates. We're not interested. We turn our head. We run away from him. But that love keeps pursuing us and pursuing us until finally, you know, in our cases, you know, we said, okay, God. And but that, you know, this is, we have to be established in this.
Absolutely.
You know,
I mean, others may love you because of you. Mm-hmm. They would say, oh, your smile, your kindness, your charm. And it's we understand that people may love you because of you, mm-hmm. but not God. Imagine that.
Yeah.
God doesn't love you because you're you, because you're unique, because you're so special, because you have this quality or this characteristic. That's not who God is.
Yeah, that's good.
It's just his nature. It's just who he is. Paul described or attempted to describe God's love in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When Paul described the love of God, he couldn't avoid using the word deep, because this is something that reaches the depths of who God is. I jotted this down because there is a man who was a legendary deep diver. His name was Pippin Ferraris. And he dove into the ocean, and he descended into the ocean 531 feet of ocean water with nothing but flippers, a wetsuit, and a deep resolve. And he does it all by taking one great big breath. The whole descent lasts about 3 minutes and 12 wow. seconds. This is just incredible. No free diver has ever gone deeper than him. And still, this is a guy who wants to go deeper still. It's almost like the deep calls
Points
to him.
Deep. Yeah.
Yeah. And God calls us not into the depths of the ocean, but into the depths of his love.
Mm.
In other words, go ahead, try to fathom it, try to understand it, try to comprehend it. You're going to have to look into the length and the breadth and the width and the depth and the height. It's just, I don't think we can fathom it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, I forget where the verse, you know, such knowledge is too high for me. Sometimes, you know, it's just hard for us to comprehend. You know, the interesting thing, Pastor Love, is also that, you know, you were talking how God, people love people because of personality, looks,
sure.
you know,
mm-hmm.
connections, whatever it might be. But God knows, like, in other words, those people love us for something, you know, but they don't really know us. You know what I mean? Like deep down inside, because somebody could be showering us with praise or something. And we in our hearts, we might be thinking, I don't really, you know what I'm saying?
If you only knew.
Well, yeah. But God knows everything about us. Like, he created us. He knows our, you know. And what does it say about Jeremiah? Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. Like, God knows all the things that we hide from people because it makes us unlovely. God knows all those things, but it doesn't keep him from expressing his love to us.
Amazing to think that we don't influence God's love.
Mm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because we can do that with human love, right? But let's be honest about it. Let's say this to our listening audience today. You know, we've had enough of human love.
Yeah.
With all of its conditions, with all of its expectations. You know, you think, and you've gone to a number of weddings, I'm sure, probably conducted a number of ceremonies. And inevitably, everybody wants, when they want to pick a Bible passage, it's got to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Mm-hmm. And here they are. Here are two human beings taking the highest possible standard from the Bible to love, a love that just, you know, doesn't mark iniquity, a love that keeps no record of wrongs, a love that doesn't quit, a love that doesn't fail, you know, a love that's eternal. And it's like, at one point I realized, wow, you are asking one human being to love another. Because every time I read 1 Corinthians 13, it says love is patient. And I think to myself, I'm not. Love is kind. And I think to myself, I'm not always kind. You know, love never fails. I fail all the time. Mm-hmm. But somebody suggested that when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we should replace the word love with Jesus. And it would read this way. Jesus is kind. Jesus is patient. Mm. Jesus, he keeps no record of our wrongs. Jesus never fails. I mean, you could go on and read that. In other words, instead of putting out there a love that you cannot bring yourself up to, a level of love that mm-hmm. you cannot reach, why don't you just talk about a love that you can't resist? Mm. God's love.
Wow.
Because he's the only one that can love us the way 1 Corinthians chapter 13 describes it.
Yeah.
And if we would learn how to do that, that can in and of itself produce a love for other people.
Yeah.
We can start to love people the way God loves us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah, marriage is a good example, you know. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, what people say at the altar, and then we know how things go over time because people change. You know, like I've been married 51 years, you know, we're not the same people. We were unsaved when we made those vows. We were unsaved, you know, didn't know anything about the love of God. I don't think we read 1 Corinthians 13 because I never heard of it at that point. but it's amazing that, you know, that it really, and it's, you know, what gives us our love for our wives? It's God, you know, and as we have changed, you know, it's amazing that, I think, you know, after 51 years, you know, that our love can like we do have a measure of that in us, you know, and I think that, it's amazing because what we have the nature of God, we have the mind of Christ in us, and we can express that at times, you know. And by the way, we can also go right off the deep edge right after that, you know. I mean, that's the way we are as people. But, yeah. Can I have a question, Pastor Love.
Sure.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it has to do with the love of God, and that's why I think it's – so I'm watching this – I don't know what it was an evangelist, a young evangelist, maybe in his 20s, out on the streets, and he had somebody filming his interactions with people. And it was at some sort of – shall we say strange convention, you know, the people were dressed kind of strange. So anyway, this girl comes up to him and says, does God love me? And he says, yes, God loves you. And she says, I forget the way she said it, but the implication was that I'm okay. Mm. Like, and he's preaching about, so, and she just walks away. And so maybe my question is, how does this unconditional love that God has for all of us, regardless of our situation, where we're at, unsaved, saved, what's the right word? Mesh or with God's, we know that God, certain people are going to go to hell because they reject Christ, but they are loved by God at the same time. Mm. And how would you respond to somebody like that? That seemed to be her implication was kind of God loves me, so I don't have to worry about, yeah. I don't have to get saved. I don't have to do it. I don't know if you understand.
Yes, I do. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that maybe the response from that evangelist or preacher would be, yes, of course he loves you. And I can show you passages in the scripture that clearly teach that. But have you received that love?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when you give a gift to somebody. I mean, as much as you've determined that that gift that you have is for them, it doesn't become theirs until they receive it, until mm-hmm. they accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much the same way with God's love. Yes, he demonstrated his love for us at Calvary. But there has to be the exercise of someone's volition
mm-hmm.
in order to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens when we're born again. We make a decision to say, all right, I will receive that. To take the idea that there's just this blanket kind of love that God throws or casts over the human race, it would be true to a certain point. But the nature and character of God is one that he will not force himself upon anyone. Mm-hmm.
That's good, yeah.
He won't do that. He's a real gentleman, if you could say it like that. So he gives people the option. I loved you enough to die for you. You will never live an unloved day of your life. Imagine that. We think we do mm-hmm. because we conclude that we are so unlovely because of our behaviors and actions and poor decision making. But from God's perspective, we'll never live a single unloved day of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so, but it has to be received. And it's kind of like he's initiating it. And again, go back to 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Mm-hmm. Herein is love. Not that we love God. And you know, I don't know who that woman was, but, you know, I think a lot of people try to just simply give themselves an exemption. Does God love me? Yes, he does. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That's the way I took it.
Yes. Yeah. I've got the exemption.
Yeah.
God loves me. Therefore, he would never punish me for my sins. He would never be separated. I mean, obviously, he created me, so I'm going to live with him eternally. Not without your consent. Mm-hmm. Not without you exercising your volition.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of maybe this. I think you said it. I like that people think they have an exemption because they think about God's unconditional love. So God loves me. God would therefore never do X, Y, Z. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's just the nature of God, and he expresses that mm-hmm. at the cross. And you quoted Romans chapter 5 verse 8. I mean, that's God's way of saying, listen, when you were of no value to me, I died for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what he's saying.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in it for God. I mean, there was everything in us to, you know, want to spurn God away. Nothing in us that would, you know, want to bring God close to us, but it's who he is. Mm-hmm. He loves because he is, and he loves us because he decides to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think your example of the children of Israel is a great example. You know, having taught, you know, the Old Testament historical books a number of times, and just in casual reading of it, you see this nation. Now this is kind of interesting because God loved them, he made a promise to them or a covenant to them, and we see, you know, really from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the book of Revelation, God never forsaking them. Like they suffered the you reap what you sow. You see that a lot, but you know, Pastor Schaller was mentioning in the book of Judges the other day how, you know, there's this cycle of discipline seven times in the book of Judges, 300 years. When you think about that book, 350 years, I think, you know, of Israel rejecting God over there. So here's Deuteronomy. I chose you. I made you a nation. You know, I made a covenant with you. The covenant is based upon God's love for them, concern for them, never forsaking them. Same promises that he makes to us as believers. And for 350 years, they're just out there, you know, with this periodic, you know, a judge comes along, a Gideon, and so on and so forth. But basically, they're worshiping other gods. They're immersed in the culture of the Canaanites and so on. And you know, you would think if we were God, we would say 350 years, that's enough. You know, I'm done with you guys. You know, you would have said it in Genesis chapter 6 with Noah. You know, and he kind of was, and he, you know, wasn't because he didn't love them, but he, you know, he realized that, you know, the thoughts and intents of man were only evil continually, and it was really an expression of his love to save Noah and so on. But we see this amazing love of God demonstrated to a nation, and then in that nation, individuals, and never forsaking them.
Yeah.
And it's not a great story. I mean, it is a great story, but you know what I'm saying? It's not a story of man's, like, look at me, and you know, that's far, you know, here and there, and even with the disciples, you know, who have seen Jesus and had supped with him and saw him resurrected and so on. The story is not great of man's faithfulness or love towards God, but the story is amazing of God's love towards men and men and women who, you know, didn't always respond the way you think they should have. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about this type of love that is so unnatural. You know,
absolutely.
And I think that's kind of, to me, that's, you know, if I could, my summary is it's just this unnatural love that we do and will, maybe until we are face to face with him, we will not really understand it, you know.
And we're describing it the way the Bible describes it today. But yet, at the same time, our lives are somewhat of a contradiction to what we're talking about today. Because sometimes we have a good day, and what do we assume? God loves me to a greater degree of my good day. We have a bad day. He must not be pleased with me, therefore he must not love me with the same kind of love that he would if I were having a better day. But that's a bad gauge. That is very poor. That's an inaccurate gauge in terms of you and I sensing God's love for us. It's not a question of feelings or emotions. Mm-hmm. It's a question of the facts. And the facts, as you said, are stated in the scripture. Success in our lives is no signal of God's love. There are people in the world that are extremely successful, and they have not understood or acknowledged or received God's love. So if success is not a good indication or a signal of God's love, then we could also say that our struggles are not an indication of the lack of God's love. Because it would be easy for us to struggle in our lives and to say, you know, if God really loved me, I wouldn't be going through these struggles. Rather than looking at our struggles by faith and saying, you know what, this may be just a different demonstration of God's love to develop my soul, to strengthen my faith and my trust in him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real challenging thing for us to do. And what Jesus said, which I find really interesting, is in John chapter 15 when he talked about abiding in him. The one thing he said in verse 9 was, abide in my love. Park there. Stay there. You know, let it shower you. Let it just be poured out upon you. Mm-hmm. To abide means just that. You live there. You know, learn to make his love your home. And I love what, I think it's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, learn to rest in that love. Because his love does produce that, doesn't it? I mean, if you have a restless soul, the answer to a restless soul is to rest in God's love. Mm-hmm. And to go back to what you said earlier in the broadcast, he will never quit on us with that love. Not, you know, see, someone could say, but, you know, one time I thought I made the team or I felt like I was on the team, but the coach cut me. God will never do that. You know, the boyfriend or the girlfriend that might have dumped you years ago, God will never do that. Some people could call in or write to us in our broadcast today and say, you don't know what it's like for me. I was abandoned by a father or by a mother. You know, God tells us in his word, he said, could a mother forsake her nursing child? And of course, we might say, no. God says, well, she could.
Yeah.
And she, in, throughout history, it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, I will never forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's unchanging.
Mm-hmm.
And that love comes without conditions, and it comes without expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I like that idea, abiding, resting, two good words, you know, two good words, you know, and you know, we, you know, it's almost like we can, if we know that, then everything else starts to fall into place. Our struggles have a purpose. Because I know that God still loves me.
Yes.
You know, our victories, whatever that means, you know, has a purpose. It's not about, because it's about God, because God loves me. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like everything kind of, it's like, you know, I watch one of my grandsons, you know, he's like this, he's not like a puzzle master, but he's really good at jigsaw puzzles, you know, and, sometimes I sit next to him, you know, and I can't even find one piece to put in. And he's, you know, they build the perimeter first, right? They get that set and then everything starts to fall into place.
Wow.
But it's funny when you watch somebody do a jigsaw puzzle or try it yourself, when the perimeter's not there, it's just kind of murky. Like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know. And you can be, you know, you look at this piece and say, is it up here? Is it over here? Is it in the middle? We have no clue. But once the perimeter is established, everything starts to take shape and form and okay. Oh, this piece. Yeah. Well, it's a cloud. So it goes up. You know what I'm saying? So abiding, the word that you use, abiding in God's love, resting in God's love. No, you know, learning about the depth and the height and the breadth and you know, learning that we can never, is it in Romans 8? We can never be separated from the love of God.
That's right.
Nothing. I mean, you go through that list. Nothing can separate. So, it, you know, it's not simple. I'm saying it like these are simple facts about the love of God, but it's very difficult for us as human beings sometimes to process it. But when we have, when we're abiding, when we're at rest, when we realize that nothing can separate us from the love of God, we're building that perimeter of the puzzle. And then all of a sudden, like I said earlier, you know, everything else kind of has a frame of reference now. And so, you know, whether it's a Job situation or a Peter situation or whatever it is, it's within the framework of God's abiding love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to learn how to let his acceptance of who we are trump every rejection we've ever had in life.
Yes.
Because it's greater than whatever rejection we've experienced. His love is greater than that. You know, I jotted this down, like we should have this sometimes maybe as a declaration. And it goes like this. I'm not going to walk out into the world to begin this day until I have stood beneath the cross and received God's love for me.
Wow.
If we could have that as a declaration for every day.
Yeah.
I'm not stepping out into this world until I've stood beneath the cross and have a little bit better understanding of how much God really loves me.
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, lots of people around the world, and they have to take daily medications. Well, along with your daily medications, how about a daily meditation that says, I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Wow.
And with loving kindness, I'll keep drawing you.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Maybe on that note, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Pastor Bob Colban, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great to have you with us. And friends, we want to thank you for joining us throughout this week. Again, our theme has been a question. Is God enough? I don't think that we've answered that question in an exhaustive way, but we have attempted to do the best that we can. But please, don't start your day until you stand beneath the foot of the cross and get a fresh reminder of just how much God loves you. And then do yourself a favor. Let him.
Yeah.
Let him
just let God love you.
Just let him love you.
Amen.
It's the answer for our lives. Thanks for joining us, friends. We hope you have a great weekend, and we hope that you'll join us next week for a brand new week of broadcasting live right here on the Grace Hour. Until then, may God bless you.